This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to part two. We're still here with William and Jordan.
Hey.
Hello.
William, before you arrived, I said to Jordan, I've met your friend before. Do I call him Will or William? And Jordan went, call him Will.
No, I don't mind if you call me Will.
You know, what about Willie? That does not fly.
You'll only call me that once.
Willie.
And you love Willie, though.
Big Willie.
No, he loves... I call you Willie sometimes.
Yes, well, we have a close, special relationship.
Okay, listen, before this is part two. William, you said an interesting fact about teacups. So, yes. So we need the answer to this.
Well, one of the banes of my life is when people, whether they're in films, TV, on stage, or in real life, are sitting there drinking their tea with their little finger extended because they think it's posh. Now, we all know it's not, but actually, although it does have its origins in the aristocracy of France, but it was not what people think it is. So in effect, in the court of Louis XIV, where sort of the word etiquette itself sort of was invented or created, tea had just come in from China. It was very expensive, and thus only the aristocracy were drinking it because they could afford it. And it was drunk at the end of a meal. Now, as you know from your basic French history, the French at the time were quite promiscuous. And, you know, husbands and wives or whatever, there would be a lot of bed sharing.
Swingers.
And it was thus, because of that, there was quite a lot of sexually transmitted disease that was going around, in particular syphilis. And it was not considered polite in the court of Louis XIV to sleep with someone without telling them in advance that you had syphilis. So a silent etiquette was created that when you were flirting with them across the Hall of Mirrors or wherever, you would drink your tea and extend your little finger as a subtle nonverbal communication that, FYI, I have syphilis. And then, of course, if you extended your little finger back at me, great, because you can't get it twice. And that was that.
So people think they're doing it to be posh, but you're doing it. That's amazing. Basically saying you've got the clap.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
You're absolutely riddled.
That's not also the clap. The clap is, I think, is the clap chlamydia or is that syphilis?
Is that your daughter?
I've had this conversation before because I think old school clap means gonorrhea. Like, I think my parents' age, but like when I was at uni, you had the clap. Chlamydia. Do you remember doing loads of chlamydia tests and getting like free boxers and socks?
Doing
and stuff
chlamydia tests?
In nightclubs.
Yeah.
You'd get a free, you'd go into a nightclub at uni and if you did a chlamydia test, because it was rife. It wasn't my uni.
The original
get like a free pair of boxers, some sunglasses, a free WKD. It's class.
I went and had an STD check when I was 16 years old because my girlfriend at the time said, I'm not going to sleep with you unless you have an STD check.
Wise.
Yeah, very, very.
She's seen Made in Chelsea. Yeah.
day when I was 16. And she said that, and I was like, okay, fine. And I walked in there, and I was, you know, nervous, and you sort of sit there, and you sit in the room, it's 16, so this is what, 16 years ago. And there was like this Jack the Lad cocky guy. Oh, I'm making this noise. Making all that. And he went in before me, and he went into the loo to do, and what they used to do is they swab up your urethra.
Yeah.
Oh.
They would, that's how they do it. So they'd swab up in it, really sore, with like a little thing that looks like, it looks like a little thing you blow bubbles out of, you know, but like a mini version
of that.
Is that
what they do?
Yeah. Anyway, he then came out of the room and he was sheet white. And I went into the room and there was just blood all in.
Oh!
And,
oh,
sweet and I thought, yes, you idiot. Yeah, yeah. But now it's all changed. Now you just have to pee or something.
That's amazing. Yeah. Well, that teacup thing is very interesting.
That teacup thing is
so basically the sort of the staff or of Louis the 14th and his court would see the sort of the aristos doing that, and thus they thought, oh well, it must be really posh to stick the finger out, because they didn't know what the etiquette was, because at the time etiquette, particularly in Louis the 14th and 15th time, was incredibly exclusive and it was quite snobby. And so they just didn't know. The other school of thought on the little finger thing is that the particular strain of syphilis that was around then was so severe that you couldn't sort of use your fingers normally. So thus your fingers naturally stuck out. So
is that
either
how,
way,
is that how King Henry VIII died?
Idi Amin as well, syphilis.
Yes, yeah, gout, possibly. And I mean, I think Henry VIII had a lot of problems.
Just talking of gout. This guy.
Oh, have you got gout?
Have you got gout?
Yeah, he does. He has gout.
I used to do a routine about the fact that my dad has gout.
He has gout.
And I went to the doctor once, and the doctor said it's quite likely you'll get gout because your dad has gout. And I was like 18 at the time.
Tom has gout.
So I used to do this routine about being the youngest person ever to have gout. At 18.
Don't regret your routine.
You it's, a good, it's a good it's one. It's a good one to have.
There's a fellow who used to go into my pub that had gout, and he tells the same story every time.
Yeah.
I can remember it word for word, but he was in agony with it.
Yeah, it's awful, yeah.
If you touched it.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. It's awful.
But you always said that apparently if you say, shame your toe, and you go, all right, and they go, yeah, you got gout. I don't know how you can see it from a toe that you have gout.
When my dad has a flare-up, it's terrible.
So it's ongoing?
Yeah, he has to take tablets every day for it.
Oh, gosh.
But when he has a flare-up, it's bad.
It's just the worst. What is he doing in the 1600s? I don't understand. Why
yeah, well, the, doesn't it come from an excess of good living?
I used to say, I thought you had to fuck Henry VIII to get gout. Oh. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that word.
I can imagine you having gout.
Gout? I don't drink enough
very
red wine.
If you had gout, it'd be very fitting with you.
Yes. Yeah, that would be a disease I would
I feel imagine. Like, William, you would be proud if you had gout.
Well, do you know what? There's are you familiar with the programme Keeping Up Appearances?
I've heard of it. Yeah,
there's a whole episode.
Mrs. Bouquet?
Yes, yeah. Where Richard, her husband, gets athlete's foot, but she can't cope with telling people he's got athlete's foot, so it becomes gout, because that's more socially acceptable, because it's a Duke's disease.
Yeah, well, you catch it from, like,
an excess of good living.
Drinking too much red wine and red meat, and so it's, like, associated with wealth and...
Yes, it's much more acceptable.
The problem with the syphilis thing, right, is if I was across the table...
How do you tell people you have syphilis?
I don't know. So I'll finger up. But I
share this article.
I just take my pocket out to leave it there. But if I was at a dinner party and someone across the table from me was quite hot, and then they raised their little finger, as I got more drunk, I'd be like, oh, fuck it, whatever. It was back in the day.
Well, that's why syphilis
die
is probably
at, like,
so
40
right.
Or whatever. You die at 40 or something like that.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Well, they didn't care.
Is syphilis still a thing now?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Do you not remember that advert?
Maybe we'll do it for a bonus episode.
Do you not remember that advert that we used to watch when we were younger? And it used to go, gonorrhea.
Yeah.
Syphilis. Yeah. And it used to be on, like, people's boxes. Like, yeah. It'd be like boxes lying on the ground, and on it would be like, gonorrhea. Oh, do you not remember this?
That was maybe before my time.
Adverts were so weird back in the day. I remember this other advert that was so upsetting. It was like this cartoon child that was like bouncing around like the walls and being thrown and being hit, and to go boom, bash, bing, bosh. And it was a cartoon. And then he was thrown down the stairs, this cartoon child, and it went and the camera panned back. And it was a real child, and they went, real children don't bounce back.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, that.
Do you remember
that?
That
was bloody awful.
Do you remember I was talking about this the other day. There was an advert before films, where there was somebody, a lady sat at a computer tapping away. She's downloading something. She's tapping away at the computer, And then somebody comes up behind her and shoots her. And the computer screen's covered in blood. And then it says something like, "Piracy is a crime." Do you remember that advert? Do you remember that?
I remember the piracy as a crime, but not that one.
Piracy is a crime, and she gets shot in the back of the head, and there's blood all over the computer screen.
It's some brutal lying.
And that used to play before like every movie.
You're lying.
What was your favourite Family Company advert? Because you had some good ones.
What question is that?
Family Company.
As in like a McVitie's one?
Yeah.
Oh, the McVitie's ones.
You had some good ones.
Yeah, they were always good. They're iconic.
Do you remember the Jaffa Cake one?
Which one was
full
that?
Where moon, you put half moon totally clips.
Yeah. You know
isn't that Sesame Street?
No, that was Jaffa Cake. But you know now the McVitie's biscuit tins, as in the sort of metal biscuit tins, are such collector's items that you can collect them.
Really?
Yeah, I don't take on bargain.
Do they not sell them anymore?
They're rare.
No, they don't sell them much anymore. Okay, can I ask, then here's another question. If you could be born any century, any decade, ooh, and you had to live it, and you had to live in terms of the healthcare, but in terms of infections or whatever it was, what century or decade would you live in?
The 80s when Thatcher was in power.
I was just thinking.
Was you actually? actually.
Look how happy that made him as well.
Yes, I'd like to have been an adult in the 80s and 90s, because they seem, sort of looking back now, they seem, nothing really went. I mean, things did go wrong.
That's so true. You didn't go to the gym like us. You'd go for a pint, 2 pints in your lunch break. Yeah. Now you'd be like, oh God, no, I've not been in the gym. I've not had my protein shake.
But if you want a slightly more historic, it's probably the Georgian era. George the third.
Yeah, give us that one.
It's like 2002.
Late 1700s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You would die at like, you'd die youngish and you wouldn't.
Well, William wouldn't. He'd be
I'd be fine. I wouldn't have syphilis.
But why that era? Why was it so great?
I like the fashion. It was sort of dressy, but not too dressy.
Smart cash.
Yeah. And the architecture was nice. And new architecture was nice. I mean, we now think it's really old, Jordan architecture, but at the time that was the new building. That was the Shard equivalent. Regent Street was, that's when Regent Street.
Do you come from a family of like, can you trace your family back to that?
No, not really. I don't think so. There's nothing to write.
So you don't come
about
from like an old kind of landed.
Not that I know. You be good at this. My have your family.
Great aunt has done the tracing thing.
Yeah.
I've never taken an interest.
His family's quite well connected. They get a Christmas card from the Prime Minister every year and stuff.
Well, only certain Prime Ministers, but...
Are you saying, how come it's that?
Thatcher.
There's a photograph, bizarrely, of it's a black and white photograph of my father kissing Margaret Thatcher on the cheek, giving her a card saying, "We love Maggie."
I tell you what I did for my parents for this Christmas, which is actually a really cool gift, and shout out to these guys. It's called...
Did you buy them a mattress?
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, from IKEA. It's basically, so we don't know about our parents that much, and we're kind of... I haven't really sat that much with my dad or my mum or whoever it is and asked them questions about their life. You kind of had over dinner party, whatever it is, but you haven't that much. Mm. So we got them... I got them a present, which every single week this company send them a question, whether it's about their life, their mother, whatever it is, and they write ever how much they want to write, and they send it back to them, and they do it for 52 weeks over a year, and then they create a book for you, and so you can then give it to your kids, and so you know about your parents' lives.
That's quite sweet.
Isn't that really cool?
That's sweet.
Yeah, because I feel like we don't ask that many questions.
What you gave your dad for Christmas was a job.
But I thought it was quite
an
nice.
An assignment. That is very sweet. That
we don't
sweet.
Have these things. And I'm sure I wish I'd asked more questions about my grandparents. I know nothing about my grandfather. Mm. He lived in the Turks and Caicos, and apparently he was a spy. And my dad had to carry a gun on a flight once to the Turks and Caicos. Why did that happen?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, you probably will never find out about that because he was a spy. So you probably couldn't tell anyone.
Yeah, but you would want to know this stuff, and we don't know about these things, which really upset me. So I find it interesting wondering how you don't care.
I do care, but I don't think there's anything fascinating to find out.
John, I think with your family, there would be.
Yeah. I think I'd probably end up going on, not wish you were here. What was it called?
who does Jordan North think he is?
No, who do you think you are?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
Yeah,
probably end up going on and having to pay a fine from like 200 years ago or something. That some rogue family members.
But I think it would be. Also, the other thing that I heard, when you can answer this, is that with a waistcoat, right?
Yeah.
Here we go. This is you're gonna.
Here we go.
Here we go. With a waistcoat.
Is this Edward the Seventh?
Yeah, you're not meant to. Are you meant to leave your bottom button undone? Yeah.
He told me that. Yeah. And I went to a wedding and went round undoing everyone's bottom buttons on the waistcoat.
Why is that? I've been sweating.
He was too fat.
If you ever have a waistcoat on, and I watch telly and I'm like, he's got his bottom button. You have your bottom button on the waistcoat. And it sits better as well.
Right? Yeah,
I think that about suit jackets. You don't do up both buttons, just the top one, yeah. Mm. But not waistcoats.
Yeah, waistcoat. It depends on how it's cut, and more modern waistcoats now.
Which STD does that tell people you have?
No, there's no STD, but it's a monarch. It was Edward the Seventh. He was so fat, basically, that he couldn't do up his. And so his courtiers thought, well, to be polite, so we don't sort of rub it in his face, that we can do up ours, we will undo ours, so the king feels more at home, and thus it sort of, a lot of etiquette, particularly at the time, it would trickle down and sort of became the
interesting
thing.
Isn't it?
Back
isn't
in the day, it'd been a, you know when we wake up in the morning, right, and it's like a nightmare to get changed. You're like, oh, I don't really know what to wear. Mm. Back in the day, it's a freaking nightmare.
Well, you'd have a valet.
Sorry?
You'd have a valet.
What is the valet?
Like a butler for clothes.
They dress you. Have you never seen Downton Abbey?
A dresser.
Yeah, but I thought women got dressed, men dressed themselves.
No.
That's why the buttons are the other way around on women's shirts, because they were dressed by their maid.
Oh, Interesting.
Hello. Yeah.
Yeah, that's you'd have a valet dress.
Yeah, I mean, the man would physically put on the clothes, but things like, particularly for evening dress, for the sort of the detachable collar, the winged collar, etc., you'd have your valet to do your studs and things.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So when did all of this change then? Because how did things slowly change throughout history? When does that start to happen?
Jordan, Tony Blair.
tell us. Hey, Jordan, tell us. When did this all change?
1997, when the Labour government came in.
Tony
when
Blair.
Things started getting better for us.
Oasis in the 90s.
I'm not political. Oasis in the 90s. Things can only get better.
I feel like Oasis.
Yes, I know that.
Oasis were the ones.
That's not Oasis, by the way.
No, that's D-Ream.
That's the song that.
I feel like.
Who was that you were singing here?
So it's the song that Labour used to play.
Brian Cox.
Oh, yeah, they did.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, go on.
Oasis were the ones who made wearing like an anorak a cool thing to wear.
But no. I okay.
Would you ever wear it? You wouldn't wear an anorak.
No.
A barber.
Barber or just a raincoat.
Just a raincoat.
Cagoule.
What I find, you do your radio show every single week, every single day.
Yeah.
Monday to Thursday.
Okay. Monday to Thursday.
2 hours, 15 minutes a day.
You are. I know, I come in and go.
Rushed off his
face. I come in and go, so stressed this week. Work's really piled up on me. He's like, you do 2 hours a day. It's more than
that. But it is. But listen, people don't realise, same with podcasting. You guys know this about podcasts, and Tom, you do. It's tricky because you have to make things conversational. You have to keep it ticking over and make it sort of unique and different and authentic and all those different things. And I did a bonus episode yesterday talking about podcasting. Interview techniques. What do you think makes a good interviewer?
I think it's the basics. It's like doing your prep and kind of researching them before they come into the studio. It's don't just read your questions. Ask a question. Listen to what they're saying. Because a lot of people, and I tend to do this, you're like, right, we've only got 10 minutes with them.
And just make them feel relaxed. Mm. Make them feel relaxed. Like Howard Stern's great for it in America. So when he's great. What they kind of sit like this on a sofa, and he doesn't even give them headphones or a microphone. It's like a tiny little microphone that comes up, or I think they put on. It's a tiny little microphone, so they forget they're on the radio. Sat down in a chair, and then before you know it, he's getting all sorts out of these guys that never.
His interviews are incredible, aren't they?
Yeah, it's just making them feel relaxed. Yeah. I think. Because they're all tense. They're being asked the same bloody questions all the time.
Yeah, and that's why I like podcasting, and maybe you guys feel the same, is that podcasting is like that in-depth medium that you don't get anywhere else.
It's like listening to a conversation, isn't it?
Yeah, it's totally like listening to a conversation. And I feel, for some reason, with audio, people do open up about stuff. Mm. And I don't know why that happens.
It's because radio and podcasts are so personal. So when you want to do radio, like when I was 15, 16, the number one rule is, and still now, is you only ever speak to one person. So Radio 1 goes across to millions of people.
And you go, hey, mate.
And you do. You're like, no, use the word. And I know it sounds corny. You go, how are you? What do you think? Why don't you get in touch? And it's that important word, you. People know there's millions of people listening, but it's more personable than TV because you speak to one person. You feel like a lot of people are working from home at the moment. Loads of listeners text in and say, oh, I feel like you're our mate in the corner of the kitchen, that kind of thing. So that's why it'll always... People will say it's dying, and they've said that about radio for years with the iPod.
The iPod.
God, I can't
even... Yeah, when iPods came in, they went, this is going to be the
kill
future.
Radio and stuff, and then they said Spotify will, but Spotify and Apple Music's great. Listen to your music for an hour and a half, and then you get bored, put the radio on. There's your mate in the corner having a laugh.
Do you think someone sits there in the world and they go, or in the country and they go, Jordan's talking to me?
Yeah, do you actually think they can
vouch for you. There are people that think that.
People come up to me, they're like, oh yeah, and how's your mum? How's your dad's ingrowing toenail? You're like, oh, I forgot to mention that on the radio. Because we're mates. So you speak to them. And it's so
lovely. Do you get nervous?
On the radio?
Yeah, because it's different. Like, we're doing a podcast now, but it's not. We're not doing it live. So, like, we could cut anything out. But when it's live, do you get nervous?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I still get nervous before certain shows. I'm more nervous if I don't think we've got enough for the show.
Yeah.
If I'm like, we've not got anything after 3:30 till 4:00 today. So that's when I get nervous. And then at the time of recording, yesterday was our first day back on air after 2 weeks off, and I was a bit nervous then.
Yeah, because you've done radio though, right?
Yes, but not as the guest, not as the sort of the whole thing.
It's so easy to say. I love it when people say, you should host something. I would love to.
I'd love to, exactly. Sadly, you know, again, it's inverted snobbery. If you sound like this, people don't want you. So
you hosted a news channel for a while, didn't you?
I did. I was the lead anchor on HMGN News.
It had more viewers than GB News, though.
It had better production values.
But, what was I going to say then?
Jordan gets very nervous when we do our live shows.
Yes.
Why?
So people think...
But you're so great.
You see, like with the podcast or even the radio studio, you can't see how many people are listening.
I am terrible.
Whereas when you're standing on stage, they're there.
In front of an audience, I get terrible nerves.
You can smell some of them.
People say, oh, you speak to millions of people a day. And I'm like, put me on stage when we're doing our podcast tour. And I am like...
When you're doing the radio, can you see how many people are listening?
No. Do you know how they do radio figures? People think this is mad, but... It's mad. So it's,
the bar or something, what is it?
It's called Radar. Basically, they've used the same system since like the 60s, 70s. Yeah. Mm. And basically, they knock on people's door with a diary and ask them to fill it in.
A
paper diary. It's a load of shite.
That's
honestly
how they do the viewing.
That's how they do radio figures. And TV's a bit more accurate because they put a box into people's telly and then they do a survey. But I used to be on local radio. And you get them every 3 months. You don't get them every day. You don't get them every week. You get them every 3 months. And they knock on people's door. Nobody fills a diary in properly anyway. Mm. So this is why... and then in local radio, I'd be up. And then they'd go and do the survey in Lancashire, another area where it was a bit more middle class and there's older people. And then we'd be down the next quarter. And it's like this, up and down, and they live by them. And it's a load of, like, people in... I mean, I won't be saying that if I get good figures.
But
people in the... Speak to anyone in the radio industry, I tell people, they go, no, they literally, a bloke knocks on your door and he's like, can you fill this in? And people are just... Radio's just there.
But it's the same with, you know, TV is the same. There's like 10,000 boxes across the UK. And every time X Factor's on, the family go and press the button that says X Factor. That's how they do it. It's like so archaic. It's like a stupid, like...
But is it a big, like in Radio 1, is it a big thing when the figures come in?
Yeah.
And do you worry about
you
that?
You live and die about it, especially in commercial.
Really?
Yeah, well, you live and die.
So even though it's done, it's not
yours down or up, Jordan?
We haven't had ours yet.
Uh-oh.
Oh, God.
But they're coming.
Oh,
you've been on for 3 months.
Yeah, they'll be coming in a few. Well,
no. But God, it's coming.
But honestly,
Okay, big question before, because I want two questions here. So, John, if anyone wants to get into radio, and lots of people listening to this go like, oh, I really want to get into radio, what would you suggest getting in there?
It's the best job in the world when it's going right. Honestly, if you've had a good show, it's the best buzz ever. You've just been on air, you've been playing loads of tunes, it's like there's no better feeling, but it's very hard. Years ago, it'd be like hospital radio, you'd start there. But now I'd say community radio. So there's a lot of community radio stations. And just make all your mistakes, enjoy it. I did student radio at uni, pretending to be Chris Miles and Scott Mills and Joe Wiley, trying to be low like them. And then you hone your craft.
You think, and also you have to. They asked me to go and do a bit, and they said, "Do you want to come to?"
You covered for me once.
I covered for you once, and they went, "Ah, you know how to use the desk." And I was like, "What the fuck?" I was like, "Ah, da." It's like you're honestly just playing a PlayStation while talking to people. It's like, it's really hard.
The best way they say to pilot is pilots get air miles, and that's the best thing I say to people that want to be present. Just get in a studio, even if it's hospital radio or community radio, just get in a studio and do as much time as
possible. And then just try and do it that way. Okay, that's a great...
Or you build a radio studio in a barn.
I was going to suggest that's easier.
Okay, go ahead, John.
Go on.
No, what are you going to say? Or what?
I was going to say, or if you shared bunk beds with your brother like I did till I was 21, and can't afford to build a barn. Or a studio in a barn.
Don't try and relate yourself back down there.
I'm still me if you're listening in Burnley. Still the same old me.
Still me.
Just with a slight waft of lavender.
And William, okay, for you, for anyone who...
wants to be an etiquette coach.
Not an etiquette coach, but like, if you had to give the one top tip...
Yes.
That you would go, okay, right, this is a who's who for being proper, being etiquette, is that right? I mean,
being polite. Being polite.
I don't know what I'm saying here. You know what I mean? What tip would you say?
Well, just say please, thank you, and sorry as many times as you possibly can, and just be a nice person and just think what would I like if I was that person.
Tell them how you got into etiquette, because it's quite interesting.
Yes.
Oh, well, obviously I was this will come as a great shock to the both of you, but I was quite a precocious child. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother, Granny was very like Maggie Smith's character in Downton Abbey, and she gave me a book of etiquette for my 12th Christmas because she thought I'd quite like it. And eventually I started to read it. There were bits in it that actually I thought, oh, actually, this is very interesting. But it posed lots of questions. I wanted to know, well, why? I was at that age where you question everything. So I bought more books on etiquette. And then when I was 16 or 17, one of the masters at school came up and said, oh, we need someone to teach the younger years how to set a table. Next Tuesday, could you come and do it? I was like, pretty sure this isn't my job. I think this should be done by one of you. But I did, and thank heavens they did ask me to do that because, you know, to cut a long story medium length, that's what started it.
Glad you got
that's amazing. Amazing. I love that.
I love that. It's great.
Nice. It's fun.
I do impressions of William's family, his other half, and the only time he's ever said... Your line inside is when I did an impression of his granny.
Who's dead? You know, I just feel, you know, on the grounds of good taste.
Did he get upset?
No, he was just like, okay, let's not do anything.
Sounded a little bit like Darth Sidious from Star Wars.
I can imagine what you're doing. Ah, do your dad? Oh, do your granny? And he's like, no, whoa.
He just said after the recording, he's like, maybe we don't, because we kind of got characters on the shows that do impressions of his mum, his dad, his brother.
He's made my mother sound like Zsa Zsa Gabor.
Hello, darling. Slightly. And do impression of, there's a lot of Gene. I once said jokingly that William's now fiance is a bricky from Wakefield. And a lot of people genuinely think he's marrying someone that's a builder in Wakefield. And he always goes, all right, how are you? I did one impression of his granny.
Granny, yeah.
And he said, don't do any more of that.
Oh, boys, listen, we're taking up too much of your time. By the way, go and check out your podcast, Help, I Sexted My Boss.
Thank you.
It is where we can get Apple, Spotify,
yeah,
everywhere.
It's very silly, but we love doing it.
It's not high art.
It's not like highbrow, but it's just very silly, and we get great dilemmas. And if you're just up for a laugh, it's only short. It's only like 30, 40 minutes, so just listen to us.
But the great thing about your podcast is that it's true. I think podcasts come a bit format and serious, and actually two mates are sitting there having a chat. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, and we love doing it, don't we?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it never feels like a job. Well, it isn't really.
And we're coming on to your one, aren't we?
Yeah, you're going to come on to our little
special.
We're
doing like a podcast swap. Yeah. Look at that.
Yes.
So exciting.
Okay. All right, Dean, listen, guys, thank you so much for coming on. Jordan, we can also get you on the radio, Radio 1, every single week, 2 to 6.
Good guess.
2 till 6.
2 to 4.
Oh, he's shattered. So,
4 till 6. 4 till 6.
No, keep going.
Okay.
It's 3.30 until 4:15.
There we go. Okay.
So it's technically 3.30 till 6 because we're still on air when Newsbeat's on.
So. Yeah, but you're not broadcasting.
No, I go for a fag, but...
I'm still that boy from Burnley.
Still me.
Guys, thank you so much. Listen, what we like to do at the end of the podcast is leave our listeners with something inspirational.
Oh, you go first.
Never eat yellow snow.
Oh, don't.
That's a good one.
That's a great one. William?
Write as many thank you letters as you possibly can.
Oh, actually, a good one for my mum.
Yeah.
Always spend good money on your shoes or your bed, because you're either in one or t'other.
Well, you didn't do that.
No, I didn't.
Oh, hi, everybody. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.